as I said before, to say about the Brahma Viharas in general, I don't know how many of you were here for the talk last night, but just to mention, you know, that that this word Brahma and Vihara, they're really wonderful, wonderful words. And Brahma, as you may know, means heavenly or divine or sublime. I think it also has a certain kind of nobility in it. When we think of the Brahmins, you know, there's a certain kind of dignity and nobility in it. And of course, with the four qualities of heart that we're so very much interested in, there is a nobility in these four qualities of loving kindness and compassion and empathetic joy and equanimity. There is a kind of nobility in these qualities in terms of how we can feel a sense of integrity within ourselves and in our relationships with others, how there can be this sense of wholeness and integrity when we are so clear about kind of where we want to go, what our direction in life is, kind of setting the course for our life. There's a kind of dignity to that, and wholeness instead of fragmentation. You know, I think with these qualities, instead of I'm like this with this person, my online persona is this, my social media persona is that, when I'm in a meditation class, it's like this. You know, when I go outside and I see people, it's like that kind of thing. Or at work, it's a certain way. With family, it's a certain way. Instead, it's always just this inclination, this yearning of the heart to know love more deeply and to share it with those around us and to know compassion more clearly and to relate to painful and sorrowful situations with compassion. And same with joy and with equanimity, kind of orienting ourselves in this way. So this sense of wholeness or integrity is embedded within all of these particular qualities. And, you know, they're very serene. There's a serenity around them because there's a clarity in terms of knowing where we're going and what's important. There's a sense of priority. And we are less likely to get waylaid. And Vihara is such a beautiful word. You know, Vihara, abode, a divine abode, home, where we can always feel at home and feel a sense of refuge and feel that these qualities are our allies. They're not like tests in our life. How equanimous can I be in the midst of the difficult? Or I'm failing once again at you know, being as loving as I might aspire to. But it's really not like that. It's really recognizing that these qualities are friends. They're all friends. They're all allies. And we can feel at home within ourselves, instead of as if we are always wandering about, trying to glom on to this or that, trying to get this and get rid of that. And in this time of being confined in our homes, it's so easy to feel distracted and like hungry ghosts. What do I do now? What do I pay attention to now? Feeling really kind of at odds with oneself instead of complete and full within oneself. And I think if we relate to the Brahma Viharas really as allies, as friends, as being able to find a sense of home within our own hearts, this is something really powerful. We can practice in the situations that we're in right now as much as if we were out and about. You know, these qualities are so needed, as we know. I mentioned last night that You know, because we are practicing them, because they are a training, and we are actively taking them up as our practice. We don't have to just accidentally visit them from time to time. We can really live a life with these qualities really quite alive within us. We can allow ourselves to be thoroughly saturated. And this is where the training comes in. Whatever the mind inclines towards is how things will actually be. And so if we're nourishing intentions of metta, then that's how we'll begin to see things, is more easily through the perspective of metta instead of through the perspective of fear and isolation and separation. And I just need to protect myself, because that's the only way I'm going to get through this whole thing. But it's not true. We protect ourselves through loving kindness. We protect ourselves through finding the sense of peace and home within our own hearts. And then that, of course, is naturally shared. And of course, it's a way to bring happiness and peace into this world instead of contributing to the divisiveness and the fear around us. I think when we talk about this first, you know, Brahma, sublime or heavenly or divine or noble, serene, and Vihara, home, refuge, ally, there is a sense of the measureless and the limitless in each one of these qualities, because they are boundless and they are unconditional. So what's being said is that whatever it is that's happening, there can still be loving kindness. You know, there can still be metta. We're not trying to get rid of anything. We're not trying to push away our fear and pretend that we're not afraid. We're not attempting to push away our sorrows or feelings of loss and pretend that that's not so. We are making the field bigger, and we are allowing ourselves to be embraced by metta, held by metta. And we can get a sense or a glimpse of the limitless nature within. As I said, this is very much a training, and in a way, we are linking into qualities that are already within our own hearts, that we forget about, that are obscured by fear and by anger and by ill will. You know, so we're really, in our training, we are really actually reconnecting to what is already there and becomes ever more revealed to us as we practice. When we practice, I think that it can be surprising to feel feelings that are sometimes quite disconcerting. You know, we can think, why am I tired? Why am I restless? When I'm so sincere, you know, I'm so diligent. Why am I tired? Why am I restless? Why am I sad? Why am I afraid? Why am I getting angry? All of this happens in this practice of metta and the other Brahma Viharas as well, because it's really stirring up what has kind of almost solidified and has been unconscious. Practicing the Brahma Viharas brings it up, brings it to life, allows us to see these qualities more carefully. And we can see that despite our sincerity and despite our aspirations, there are gaps in the ways that we treat ourselves and others. There are places in which we might feel barren and lost. There are ways that we don't really feel all that empathetic to others, you know? And it stirs it up to take on this practice. And at the same time, it can link up with that which is always there, that we have ignored or have not seen. And what I mean is the true heart of loving kindness between us. So it's a very interesting thing to me. And why it's interesting is that we're training ourselves, we're cultivating these qualities. You know, and cultivation is an interesting word. You know, we're cultivating. Yeah? But we couldn't cultivate what isn't there. You can't cultivate a flower that isn't there in its seed-like form. You just would be watering a place where there isn't any life to it. But because these qualities are within our hearts, in at least seed-like form, we can cultivate, we can train ourselves, we can allow them to grow and to mature and to flower and to come into a full blossoming. So it's very, very interesting thing to me, because we are cultivating, we are encouraging, we are training. And at the same time, you could say, our true nature is one of pure love. Our true nature is one of confident compassion. An expression of our true nature is joy. And our true nature is equanimity and wisdom, intrinsic wisdom. Always there, always present, obstructed by conditioning, obstructed by habit. So when we feel different things or have disconcerting thoughts or, you know, have emotions that are surprising because we're just supposed to be kind of going ahead with metta, for instance, it shouldn't be that surprising if we understand it. We're just allowing it all to be stirred up so that we can come to a resolution, so we can understand and have confidence in our true Buddha nature. It's interesting because with the training and with this practice of cultivation, almost, you know, it does take a certain degree of effort and energy and all of that, but almost it's the effort to relax. Almost it's the effort to allow for a greater degree of spaciousness, to allow for a greater degree of ease. It's not a self-centered efforting. I'm going to be the best person in the world. I'm going to be the most equanimous meditator ever. I'm going to be a really good person. I'm going to take care of everybody. You know, it's not like that. It's really something that we are relaxing into rather and nudging and coaxing rather than forcing and demanding. And there's a huge difference between these two approaches of forcing and demanding and trying to fit into particular concepts about practice and about ourselves and about the teachings and about the Dharma versus being really quiet. And I'm not saying not to use the phrases because they are really helpful, but being really quiet within the phrases, really quiet and really still and aware of relaxing and listening. Because if we do that, sometimes there will be a glimpse, there will be a seeing into a place within us that has it all, that is not deprived of any of these qualities of heart, that is actually full and complete within itself. And then, of course, it's so much easier to share and to be generous and to be good to others because there is that knowing of enoughness within one's own being, within one's own heart.